Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word of truth that you've given to us. May your Spirit work through it, as he already has been this morning, but continue to do that as your word is shared. Let it all be done to your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure at some point in your life you've encountered a speaker or an audio of some kind that when you got done listening to it, perhaps a phrase, something like, wow, that was really powerful. Either it came off your lips or that thought went through your mind because whatever that speaker had said or however they had said it really resonated with you. And that person and their words, the impact of those words was greater than many other words that you've heard. It could be something in your field where you are sitting in a training that you've been trained on before, but just how someone presented it was much clearer, made more sense, perhaps directly connected with what you are doing. Or perhaps in an area that is an interest to you. I know the area of leadership is one. I listen to different podcasts, and there are times where an individual will speak on a particular topic, even though you've heard that topic before, it stands out and says, that was good. That was powerful. You know, words have power. Words have significance. We hear a lot of them. We don't remember all of them. But as we hear the words of Jesus, perhaps some of those words just kind of float in one ear and out the other. And I would say even in our religious landscape, in our culture today, there are many words that are said. And if I were one that didn't have a Christian background and I were trying to understand what words in the religious realm was I to listen to, which ones were I to take to heart, which ones were I to put into practice, it would be a confusing thing. Of all the different religions and all the different writings and all the different speakers, where does something stand out that says this is something that is different than all the rest? This is something more powerful than all the rest. This is something more impactful than all the rest. The moment in Jesus' ministry that we want to look at this morning, again, as early in his ministry, we've looked at some of the disciples that he called to follow him. James and John, Andrew, and Peter, Nathaniel, and Philip. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper area of Israel known as the region of Galilee. In the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spent time on that lake. These individuals he called to follow him were familiar with that lake because they enjoyed fishing and that was their livelihood. And along that northern coast of the Sea of Galilee is a city called Capernaum. And Capernaum was one of the little bit larger towns on the Sea of Galilee. And so this is where Jesus and those he had called to follow him are located at this point in the Gospel of Mark. And they enter the synagogue. Now the synagogue was a gathering of God's people who followed the Old Testament scriptures because that's all they had at the time. And weekly on the Sabbath, which for them would have been Saturday, they would have different teachers, oftentimes the local rabbi or the leader of that particular synagogue. But at times they would have guests, and I was reading that really any male over the age of 13 could speak in a synagogue if he was invited to do so. And so Jesus, becoming known in this area, is invited to speak in the synagogue. And I'd like you to listen. What stands out to these people on this particular day as Jesus interacts with those in the synagogue, perhaps in a setting similar to what we have this morning, that make people stand up and notice the power of his words? If you want to follow along on the message notes, Mark chapter 1, or pull out a pew Bible, it's on page 1552, your device, however you read the scripture, follow along. They, that is Jesus and those disciples he called to follow, went to Capernaum, And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This wasn't the first time that these individuals were gathered in the synagogue, but what they experienced, what they heard, what they witnessed, I would guess, was a defining moment for them. That they left that gathering in the synagogue a little bit different than when they came in. And what was it? It was their interaction with Jesus. And their first reaction to his teaching is they were amazed because he taught as one who had authority. That's a word that comes up twice by the reaction of these people. They recognize that about Jesus in verse 22. And then later on in verse 27. And so I was thinking about that. Like, well, these teachers of the law, you'd think that they would have some authority in regard to the words that they taught. The teachers of the law, they were the ones that understood the law of Moses and all the ins and outs. And so they would give the people guidance and direction in regard to understanding those laws, and I'm guessing putting them into practice. They would bring in the interpretation and the application of perhaps other rabbis who they, you know, just like commentaries today, and they would present that to the people, and you'd think that that would have great authority to it. But how Jesus presented his teaching, and Mark doesn't choose to record the content of his teaching, but just whatever he taught on came across in a different way than how they were used to week in and week out with the teachers of the law. And so what might that have been that gave Jesus' words authority? The people recognized there was something different. And what we know about Jesus, we obviously know who he is. And that's the first main point. Jesus' words are powerful because of who he is. And we're just going to reflect on that. What was it about Jesus that gave his words authority? And perhaps maybe a setting that might connect with some of you, that when you are in a particular field, let's say you're in the medical field, the medical profession, and you can read a lot about medicine, you can hear a lot about medicine, but when someone comes and speaks to you, perhaps who has an advanced, a terminal degree in that particular field, and they speak to you based on all their learning, and then they have years of experience that they not only talk about in theory how this plays out, but they actually have interacted with that information, they have seen it, whatever particular niche of the medical field they are in, and they have both the experience, they have that overarching awareness, they have the learning and the insight that those that just talk in theory don't have. And so when you think about who Jesus is, we're the people reacting to one who, as the Almighty Son of God, had an awareness and an understanding of not just what the laws were and how they were to play out, but why God gave them, God's heart behind them, what God was trying to do in giving the pages of Scripture and these words and insights, and one who had a terminal degree, had the experience. He didn't have to say, well, rabbis in the past suggest A, and others suggest B, and perhaps we try C. He could stand up and say, no, this is what the Lord says. And this is what he's given to us. There wasn't a reliance on other human interpretation. but simply of his own authority and who he was, spoke to the people. And however that came across, they were amazed, because the authority with which the words of Jesus had were greater than the authority of the words which the teachers of the law presented. Not inherently that those teachers of the law were wrong, but just who Jesus was as the Son of God and what he brought in that teaching amazed those that heard them. So that's one part of identifying who he is. And it's interesting, the next witness we get in this setting is the evil spirit. Because it seems like this guy who had the evil spirit was part of this gathering of the synagogue, that he wasn't just a drop-by guest that particular day, but there was some familiarity with this individual. And so the words that Jesus spoke and who he was triggered this demon, this evil spirit, to speak through this individual and identify who Jesus was. And it's interesting because the two phrases he uses of Jesus, did you catch them? You are Jesus of Nazareth. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This evil spirit knew he was confronting the Holy One of God. He knew his human background, Jesus of Nazareth. He knew his divine reality, the Holy One of God. This evil spirit knew Jesus as true God and true man, and he knew Jesus' mission. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. This evil spirit knew he was confronting the very one who came to destroy him. And notice what he asks. Are you going to destroy us? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now imagine if you are a parishioner on this particular Sunday. Not only have you heard Jesus speak with a level of authority and insight that the regular preachers didn't, but now you have this one who is possessed by an evil spirit, and out of the mouth of this individual comes an identification of Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy One of God. And identifying his mission, even though the people there didn't have a full awareness of perhaps what Jesus' overall mission was, but this evil spirit knew that God the Father sent his Son to destroy the work of the devil, to overcome that influence and that power. And it's interesting because the evil spirit knew that he would have to submit himself to whatever Jesus said. And the evil spirit knew that the one who was speaking was the Holy One of God. You see, what stands out about the words of Jesus is they are the words of God himself. And as I think about the religious climate, it's interesting that even the demons acknowledge the power of the Word of God. We'll look at that a little bit in just a minute. But you know the evil spirit had to leave that individual. And the power of Jesus' words drove out that demon because they were the words of the only true God. And even the evil forces have to listen to it. Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies. I mentioned that in our first lesson today, Deuteronomy chapter 18, where those that were in that synagogue were aware, perhaps many of them, of the promise that God would send a prophet in whom he would send, it would give the words like he gave to Moses. People were looking for another powerful prophet that would speak with the authority that God had given Moses to speak. And perhaps there was a recognition that they had been taught about the law of Moses, about this prophet who was to come. And they begin to realize or wonder, is this the one that God spoke of that would have the very words of God speaking to us as his people? You see, what stood out, what made Jesus' words powerful, are the source of those words. Because Jesus was true God, his words were powerful. And so again, as we look at what are we going to listen to? What are we going to put our faith in? Are we going to put our faith in the words of man, or are we going to put our faith in the words of God? And which one will have a more powerful impact? And in this setting, Jesus is revealing to those to whom he spoke that his words were powerful because of who he was. Secondly, his words are powerful because of what they can do. God's word has effect on people's hearts. These people were amazed. They saw it. They heard it. They told others about it. The whole city of Capernaum was abuzz. The whole region of Galilee, news about Jesus spread. There was something different. There was something that Jesus spoke of. And we know from previous weeks, remember the main message that Jesus gave was the good news about the kingdom of God. Now just imagine that as he brought that to the synagogue and these teachers of the law saying, here's what the Lord says. Here's what we got to do. How well did you do this week? How well did you go about it? Did you get it right? Did you take too many steps? Not enough steps? Did you eat the right thing? Did you not eat the right thing? Was it clean? Was it unclean? All these laws that the teachers of the law, I'm sure, were week in and week out. And if you were sitting in that pew in the synagogue, I don't want to put words in the mouths of these people, but then when you leave every Sabbath with a bit of a burden on your shoulder going, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do better this week. I'm going to really get it done. I'm going to count my steps. I'm going to know what I eat. I make sure I don't eat any unclean. I'm going to make sure my mouth is pure. All these laws that the people that we try and fulfill, and we know that the Lord says, maybe at the end of that, says, remember, the Lord your God says, be perfect, as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. Can you imagine potentially the burden of guilt that I would leave that synagogue day in and day out, and then I have someone who comes and explains that all these laws and the perfection that God demands are going to be fulfilled in the Messiah, in the one who is to come. And then for Jesus, as he did on occasion, reveal to the people to say, the one who is speaking to you is he. Can you imagine the hope that would begin to fester in your heart in a good way to realize that what I have been trying to accomplish is only found resolved in the Messiah who is to come? It's no wonder that these people, perhaps if that was the message, and I don't know because it's not in the pages of Scripture, but what Jesus brought, yes, is a message of turn from sin, repentance, and believe the good news. And what I hear from other portions of Scripture of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't preaching any hope of the Messiah in regard to spiritual forgiveness and hope of eternal life. And so as Jesus comes into that setting and proclaims the good news about the kingdom, and then to see the effect of God's word through Jesus on the evil spirit, who for a period of time, we don't know, had affected this individual. And then as Jesus tells the demon to be quiet, because even though his words were accurate about who Jesus was, Jesus did not want the witness of a demon. And he says, be quiet, and then commands the evil spirit, come out of him. And the evil spirit didn't go, no, I don't have to listen to you. No, there was no option because of the power of the word working through Jesus on that evil spirit. The man shook violently and the evil spirit came out of him with a shriek. Even the demons obey him. When you left that synagogue, this man teaches with authority and we saw him drive out an evil spirit. Even the demons obey him. So my guess is there are others that tried to cure this guy or to get the demon out, but whatever words they spoke or whatever attempts they made didn't work. But when Jesus stepped into that arena, even the demons had to obey him. The whole different that was now on the scene in regard to teaching, in regard to words that were powerful, that were different than what people were hearing. They were beginning to hear the bigger picture of why all the laws and the teaching of Moses and the other prophets that were given. And Jesus was revealing it to them through the power of his word. So let me ask you and myself a question too. Are these same words working in our heart and mind? And what happens when I forget that what God has given to you are powerful words that stand out above anything else that is being taught in the religious realm? Isn't it easy in our culture to sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes just to feel like, oh, What's the difference between Christianity and the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of other religions? And maybe we've been challenged with that question. We kind of fumble through an answer. We don't want to fumble through an answer. But to realize that in Jesus, because of who he is, as the Son of God, I look at this and I go, well, you try your words on power over Satan, over his evil influences. And in my pastoral career, not that I'm anticipating it or wanting it, I haven't been part of an exorcism. I've seen some. I've heard other pastors talk about them. But that's a powerful confrontation. And we're engaged in a spiritual battle every single day. And it may not be by a possession of an evil spirit that is in your life and that's controlling all your actions, but it's just the power of our sinful nature that's at work in each one of us. And when we forget about the power of Jesus' words, that sinful nature begins to take over. And our thoughts become more negative, and our actions become more self-centered, and our interactions become more about us than about the other person. And when we think about the power of Jesus' words, and as they drift from our hearts, and what fills our minds, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the fruits of the sinful nature are obvious: discord and rage and friction and trouble and hardship and relationship, all these things that sin creates. And we wrestle with this every day, right? And what Jesus reminds us in these words, that we have the power of the word, as Martin Luther penned in A Mighty Fortress, one little word can fell him. Right? When those temptations come up in our hearts and in our minds and our attitudes, we can be like Jesus and say, be quiet and get out of me in the name of Jesus. Because there's power in the words of Jesus because of who he is and what they can do. And when we forget that, we live and drift apart from our Savior. And so that's why Jesus came with a message of repentance. Turn from that and turn back to him, to the power of his word. And what happens when we live in the reality of the power of Jesus' words? We live in that full confidence that our sins are completely and fully forgiven. And even though God gives us direction, and yes, we carry guilt at times, we know that in the cross and in the giving of his body and blood, that therein lies complete and full forgiveness. And as many of you partake in the Lord's Supper today, it's the power isn't in the unleavened bread and the wine. It's in the power, is in the word that Jesus gave and said, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This isn't just a church tradition, but it's where Jesus wants you to encounter who he is and what he gave for you, and the promise and the reality that's given in the power of his word. The power of the word that takes your sinful heart and changes it to one that loves Jesus. The power of the word that points you to the cross and gives you hope in even hopeless or challenging situations. When life isn't going very well, we still have one who loves us. Those are God's promises. They're scattered and fill the pages of Scripture for us to rely on and to give to us hope and joy even in the challenges of life. And most importantly, what stands out about the power of Jesus' words, they are the only ones that proclaim salvation. Apart from ourselves, completed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when I look at the words that are spoken in other religious realms and other religions and other faiths, I have yet to find the powerful words that Jesus says from the cross, it is finished, done, completed. What you could not do for yourself, I have done for you. Jesus came proclaiming the good news. And that good news God has given to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Perhaps teaching on a Sunday morning, it melds into our routine and our week. But I don't want you to leave
or forget the power of Jesus' words as they work in your heart and your life and give you power over sin and temptation and give you the promise and joy and hope of eternal life and proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is yours. The defining moment for Jesus as people realize the power of his words. Perhaps it won't be as spectacular as that day in the synagogue, but I pray that you leave today with that power of Jesus' words again redefined. And perhaps in your life today, just a mini defining moment as you realize once again the power of Jesus' words. Amen. May God's peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, now and to eternity. Amen.